You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands.
In this week's episode, we're doing a late celebration of Fifth Harmony's 4-year anniversary by talking to one of the admins from their biggest fan update account. Later, we'll be talking about our other favorite girl groups and try to figure out why girl groups started becoming less popular. So let's get started.
All right, y'all, we're going to kick the episode off with our first installment of the segment, Stan Stories. So this is where we invite someone from a particular fandom to give us a little insight about what it's like to be a stan in their fandom, but also to give us a little history about what particular thing they started being a fan of back in the day, so you can get to know their perspective and what makes their fan experience special. So our very first guest is someone who's pretty well known in the Harmonizer fandom, which is Fifth Harmony's fans. Her name is Steph, and she's here with us today. All right, Steph, so let's just start off by talking about your stan past, like before Fifth Harmony. If you had to tell us like your stan history, like what would that sound like?
I think it starts off probably really young. I was really into the Spice Girls, but this was like when they were already 4, because I was too young to know them when they were a 5-piece band.
Right.
But it started then, and I think my first real memory was actually, as you mentioned in your intro podcast, S Club 7.
Yes.
I was very into their show, as cheesy as it was, but I was really young, so it didn't matter. And I don't know if you remember the show Pop Stars on the WB.
It sounds really familiar.
It's where Nicole Scherzinger was basically discovered.
Wow.
And she was in a now defunct girl group pre Pussycat Dolls days. And I was actually really into that show. And that was probably my first real memory of really stanning a group. So my girl group days go pretty far back. And back then, there wasn't really that much social media. So fandoms existed in the form of message boards.
Yeah.
And that was what I was into for a long time throughout the first maybe 5 or 6 seasons of American Idol. And when Simon left, I kind of followed him onto X Factor. So that's kind of been my stan experience.
Where were you in your life like 4 years ago? Like when you first started stanning Fifth Harmony, like what were you doing before that?
Before that, well, I was in college, so that I know that ages me so much. Wow.
No, so was I. That was 2012. I think I was in my sophomore year of college.
Yeah. So I was in college, so I feel like I wasn't doing much stanning in college, probably just because I didn't have time for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I watched a lot of TV shows and stuff, but nothing super involved with other fans. I think I was fresh out of college when
it all happened.
When it all happened.
I think that we put 5 really, really talented people together. What we want is a group who are going to take over all over the world.
Tell them what I hope would be impossible.
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 Impossible. Impossible. Impossible.
And when it all happened.
Yeah.
So, like, Fifth Harmony is like the first one that you've really, 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 like, really dived into and really put your all into then?
I mean, I've run fan pages and fan Twitters and things like that, but nothing of this level. I've never been so invested in an artist's career that I've gone to as many concerts as I have.
How many Fifth Harmony concerts have you been to?
I don't even know. I mean, the thing is, because I'm from Los Angeles, they are here often. They have little events. So I don't know if those count. It's not like I haven't really gone that far out of my way for their tours.
But no, going back to X Factor, were you expecting to come out of this, watching this show with like such a huge attachment to any of these artists?
No, honestly. I like to give every reality talent show a chance. And sometimes you don't get attached to a contestant or an artist until later on in the show.
Yeah.
For me, it's happened for the most part very early on. I did with Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood. And so the same thing happened with Fifth Harmony. It was very initial. And so I always get this feeling that just like, it's kind of instinctual. Mm-hmm. And I've had this feeling even outside of reality talent shows. Like, I remember seeing a very young Tori Kelly on Star Search when she was 11.
Wow.
And I remember hearing her voice and just thinking, she's going places with that voice.
Yeah.
Back then.
That's amazing.
And so that kind of just happens to me every so often. And so with Fifth Harmony, it was an initial, they've got it, they're going places.
But yeah, so I should probably like explain for people who don't know. 5H on Tour is a Fifth Harmony update account. The biggest one out there. It has over 200,000 followers. It is the hub for all things Fifth Harmony. And, you know, Steph, I was like, I'm looking at the Twitter page and it says joined December 2012. That was either right when X Factor ended or like when they were still on X Factor. So like, take us back to like the decision to go from just, you know, a viewer of them, a viewer of X Factor, to being like, okay, I need to create this update account.
Well, it started Christmas of 2012.
Got
and a couple fans had started it. It was just like a few friends, and they had kind of stalked me on my social media, and they asked me to join pretty much the day after it was created.
Wow.
And okay. I said yes. I just jumped into it. I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into. Right. I just knew that I believed in them and they had a lot of potential and they were just fresh off the show. So I said yes. And it probably wasn't for a few months, probably until they had their first little mall tour, that I really realized where they could be headed and where 5H on Tour could be headed.
I kind of want to know, like, if you can share, like, some behind-the-scenes 5H on Tour things. Like, how many of you guys is there? Like, how do you guys organize even within the update accounts? Have you rotated people over the years? Like, what is it like being a part of that?
It's a challenge, to say the least. We've had as few as 5 people back in the day, as many as over a dozen. It's hard because a lot of us are, you know, we have day jobs or are students or both. And so it's hard to juggle, especially because we're not just on Twitter. You know, we're on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We have an app and there's just so much going on. And we're constantly having to kind of think about what's next as far as, you know, what could potentially happen with the group, because we never know. Whenever news drops, it's like we have to drop everything to report it. It's like our brains never really leave 5H on Tour, which is a little scary. But sometimes we do feel the pressure of, you know, just trying to be as thorough and accurate and as good as we can be for the fandom.
And so have you guys, like, you know, Fifth Harmony, they know 5H on Tour, like, very well. What have you heard from the girls or their families or even, like, Fifth Harmony's, like, team? Have they ever approached you guys and to say thank you or, like, whatever? Or, like, what's that dynamic like?
Yeah, I mean, they have always been super appreciative. I mean, the reason I met the girls for the very first time was really because of 5H on Tour. It was actually Mama Drea that reached out to us, and all the parents and the girls have been super, super supportive and thankful every time, you know, I get to see them. And, you know, I've met some of their team at their events and stuff like that. And I, you know, try to say hi and introduce myself, and they've always been just very appreciative of what we do. And that in itself is like the greatest reward, because it's not easy. So yeah.
What do you think is the reason Fifth Harmony has stayed relevant, like, despite all of the, like, bumps they've gone through, like pushing back the album and stuff like that? Like, what do you think is a reason why they've been able to be successful since then?
I mean, the fans, I think it's, you know, when you see just how far they've come, I think everyone in some capacity sees their potential.
Yeah, I mean, like, with Fifth Harmony, I think the big word is potential. Like, I saw that from the beginning, you know, and I think that's what made me, that, like, drew me to them. Because I didn't watch the show every week. Like, I was watching it, like, when I caught it, you know, but I didn't really catch it every week. So when I heard them like really sing well, like after X Factor, when they did YouTube covers, I think that's when a lot of people were kind of like, oh yeah, they have that potential to be the next big, you know, American girl group or global girl group. You know what I mean? Right. Did you ever, like, have you ever had any doubts about Fifth Harmony? Like, we all, you know, like we all watched X Factor and we all like hoped they'd be successful and things like that. But did you ever think that they'd become as big as they have? And do you think that they'll be able to become bigger than they are?
I feel like when I've watched them perform for the first time, I definitely had that like gut feeling. To see them where they are now is definitely really surreal. And you never know what's going to happen, but I feel like they still have a ways to go. And they just continue to surprise the world and all of us fans every time they drop a new song, or everyone's like panicking about their tour right now. But to be honest, it's fine. Like,
when is the fandom not panicking?
Right, right. that's the real question.
That's true. And the thing is, the fandom is never not panicking and they're never satisfied. And as annoying as that can be sometimes, I feel like that sense of urgency and like that dedication for wanting the best for the group is in part why they are where they are.
Right. And I think it just goes back to the potential, wanting it to be, you know, bigger than what it is, and tours to be bigger than what they are and things like that. So I think that's where the panic comes from and stuff like that. It's just us wanting them to show the world what we know that they could, you know, do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like a different kind of dedication. Like this one, it feels like people rooting for like a family member.
Yeah,
like it's
definitely.
Not like it's yeah. like truly caring for them. Like for me, like being a Beyonce stan, like everything you could hope from her and more, it just kind of happens because she's, you know, she's in a position to be able to like make those things happen. But with a younger group and a younger group of people, it's not always going to be that easy. And so being a part of that, like with Fifth Harmony, has been like really interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's never come easy for harmonizers or Fifth Harmony. But I feel like I've seen fans. I mean, I didn't know all that much about the music industry in terms of radio and award shows and all these things. And I feel like fans really dedicate themselves to learning about industry just so that they can help Fifth Harmony.
Exactly.
Yeah, most
and
definitely.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah, like there's a fandom that like understands what radio ads are.
Yeah.
And like, you know, can figure out this single that they have charting on iTunes needs this many sales to go from number 4 to number 3. You know, or like right. something like that. It's definitely like one of my favorite artist fandom relationships to kind of witness, be a part of, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely been really, really interesting.
So on to my favorite question. What is your favorite 5H moment?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. And it's, if I have to pick one, I might have to say when they won the VMA, because I was in the audience.
Oh my God, really?
I was. So it was like that much more fulfilling, because I was watching their faces as their names were announced.
The VMA goes to Fifth Harmony, Miss Moving On.
Can't thank you enough. Oh my God, we didn't think we would win. This is amazing. Mom, look what happened. Yeah. I love you.
Oh, yeah,
and so
cool.
that was like a cherry on top, just because the entire fandom had dropped all of their lives to vote for that award.
Girl.
Yeah, that was hectic.
Like, I don't know if a large group of people has had as much anxiety as like when Fifth Harmony was on
the VMA. We didn't sleep. So that was really hardcore, and we were just, it was just so great to see them win.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm proud of you that you were able to narrow it down to one. I'm like so proud. But no, if
yeah,
people...
I actually had like 50. So.
But yeah, I think that's all we have. Tell the people where they can reach you on Twitter, or if you have any final thoughts.
No, just thanks for having me. And this podcast is really awesome.
Aww,
so
thank you.
You can follow me at the update account that I help run, 5H on Tour. We're pretty much 5H on Tour and everywhere, but you can find most of our social information on Twitter.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Steph. That was really fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks so much.
Fifth Harmony just had their 4-year anniversary, so we thought it'd be cool to talk about girl groups over the last 20 years or so and where they're going now. So, Gigi.
Yes.
What were your other favorite girl groups aside from Fifth Harmony?
Okay, so I think in general, I've always gravitated more towards standing girl groups over, like, boy bands. So,
same.
Honestly, like, it all goes back to Destiny's Child.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running
back. And this is, like, when I was a child. I was, like, turning 8 years old or 9 years old. And I don't know if you remember this, but Destiny's Child was on an episode of...
Smart Guy?
No, the famous Jet Jackson.
Oh, I remember that.
And I remember this so clearly because it was the episode aired on my birthday that year. And I was like so hype because this is also something that's really interesting to me. Do you remember that Disney Channel used to play Destiny's Child videos in between like shows, like during the commercials? Like you'd be like watching like what? I don't know, like, what kind of cartoons or whatever were on Disney Channel. And then they would play, like, Say My Name. And it's, like, in retrospect, I mean, not that there was anything risque about, you know, the Say My Name video, but just, I just know that that wouldn't happen today.
Never.
But no, they were definitely the first girl group I ever actually stand, because I grew up just being obsessed with them and loving them. And then later on, it was weird. Like, my Spice Girls obsession came, like, much later. Like, I was in high school. And so, you know, to give y'all some perspective, I was in high school from 2008, I want to say, to 2007 to 2011. And so it was a very late, like, oh my God, I love them so much. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've liked other girl groups, like, you know, of course, the iconic, like, TLC and SWV. But I don't know if I can say I stand them. I think that's, like, a different level. So what about you, Kayla? What are some other girl groups you've been into?
So for me, like, when I think back, I do think of Destiny's Child as, like, the first girl group. But I really don't think that I got into them, like, seriously until I got older. But in, like, middle school and like my first few years of high school, I don't know what was wrong with me, but I was so obsessed with like 90s music. And it wasn't just me listening to 90s music, it was me like watching interviews, grainy interviews on YouTube from, you know, back in the 90s of groups like Escape. SWV and stuff like that. So like it got to a point where I have, and I still have to this day, I have 2 Escape physical copies of their albums in my car, also all 3 of SWV's albums in my car like right now. So like I was looking on like websites and buying these like $4 CDs when I was like 15 years old after these groups were completely done, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I think those 2 groups were like the ones where I felt like I was standing. And I think that's what drew me to Fifth Harmony. I think I just wanted a girl group to stand.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what drew me to them, like, it definitely was refreshing because, like, I was, you know, fast forward a little bit after, you know, Destiny's Child, I was a huge Danity Kane stan. Do you got a first aid kit handy? Do you know how to patch up a wound? Tell me, are you patient? And so when they broke up, it really seemed like the book was closing on girl groups. Like, it was kind of sad. It made me really sad. And so I definitely think that's why I, you know, also gravitated towards Fifth Harmony, because it was kind of, they were filling a void that you, you know, really needed to fill.
Yeah, like, I think the older fans, I think they all kind of felt like that. They were kind of looking for something, someone or a group to fill that space that had been empty for such a long time, I think.
But I think that kind of takes us to our next topic, which is why the hell did all these girl groups just kind of disappear? Like, I have a couple of theories, but I would love to hear yours.
I don't know. I really think maybe people saw how bad Danity Kane ended and they were kind of like, well, I guess I'll stick to my solo stuff. And then you have to think about the fact that there were girl groups that tried. It just wasn't working. There was a group called Electric Red. I'm out here calling you baby. I shouldn't have let you hit that. Cause now I can't forget that. Now, let me tell you how thirsty I was for a girl group.
God.
I was like, I guess you could say a stan almost. Like, I watched the few interviews they did. I had their, like, album, the one album
Who
they put out.
Who was in this group? Is it called Electric Red?
Electric Red. They were like, if you look at Aaliyah's Rock the Boat video, and see, I was like low-key a stan because I know this, but if you look at Aaliyah's Rock the Boat video, it was a bunch of, like, backup dancers. Like,
wow. Okay, so I just Googled them, and it's Electric with a K. At
yes.
The end? Oh my
yes.
God.
Yes. Yes. Real spicy in 2006.
Wow.
But, or 2009, I guess. I think it was a little bit later. Yeah. So Electric Red. And then I think about another group called, I don't know, Seven Streeter was in it, or Rich Girl. So these groups, they tried, but it just wasn't working. So I think that people that wanted to be in other groups kind of was just like, well, it's not gonna happen for us, so why even try it, you know? And let's try a solo artist. Because, I mean, since that group that Seven Streeter was in, she has gone on to have, a pretty decent R&B career. And one of the girls that was actually in the group with her, she's in Kelly's new group, June's Diary.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for June's Diary.
So, yeah, and that's a terrible name, by the way.
But it is, but it's fine.
They sound really good, so yeah. That's okay. But, yeah, so, like, a girl that was in Rich Girl is now in June's Diary, and I guess she felt like, well, this is another chance for me to try it at this girl group thing, you know, years later. But I think it was really just because they felt like it would not happen for them, so people were just kind of like, no.
Yeah. Okay, so my theory as to why girl groups fell off, like, I'm going to take you back all the way to the 50s here.
Okay.
When girl groups first started becoming a thing, so this is like, you know, with the Supremes mm-hmm. and all these, you know, girl groups that really forged the path to, like, you know, what we know today as a girl group. All of that was rooted in doo-wop and R&B. Go into the 70s, 80s, 90s, girl groups were still very much rooted in R&B. So I honestly think there's a connection between the dip in R&B mainstream and mm-hmm. the dip in girl groups.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Because, I mean, Top 40 is all pop mm-hmm. now. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have the occasional Fetty Wap, but that's not R&B.
Yeah, you know, and what is a girl group if they're not showing off their runs and their harmonies, you know? And that all, you don't see that in pop very often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think of En Vogue. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it, never gonna get it. If you think of, you know, even Destiny's Child, like. Good night. You had a lot of huge vocal moments, R&B vocals specifically, and R&B sound. And I think when that started dropping off is when, you know, the whole fascination with girl groups, it kind of died. Because pop girl groups yeah. are great and they can be entertaining, but I think generally people aren't as interested in that.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I think that's why, now that I'm thinking about it, Little Mix, they have big vocal moments in their music a lot more than I think Fifth Harmony does. And they have that, like, R&B sound in a lot of their, like, album tracks. Maybe not their singles, but definitely their album tracks. And I think that might be why they haven't, you know, had that global success like Fifth Harmony. You know, their fans kind of deny it, but it's the truth. And I think it's because They definitely have, like, a more R&B influenced sound than 5H does.
You know Boy, their song Boy? Forget that boy, forget that boy. No, a bad boy, good enough for you. You're holding back tears in your eyes. Bad boy, wanna fight, but I've never seen him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like it literally could have been released in like the 90s and it probably would have charted really high.
Right.
But like, no one knows Boy by Little Mix. They probably don't even know who Little Mix is. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just the truth.
Like,
but,
no tea, no shade. But.
Yeah. So it's really just like, what, you know, a girl group in 2016, like, what are they willing to sacrifice?
Right.
They almost have to choose, like, are we going to go through what's popular, what's, you know, going to help us chart, even if that makes us sound like every other person on the charts, but it's going to get us on the charts at least. Or are we going to stick to the sound that makes sense for girl groups and, you know, try to forge our own path? And, like, it's a really weird, like, catch-22 because it's like, do you want global success or do you want, you know, songs that really touch your soul? But
and I think Fifth Harmony is struggling with that, or has struggled with it, at least. I think that, I mean, when you have people like L.A. Reid that kind of like approves of what he wants your sound to be. If you fight for a song like, say, No Way, their bonus track, not even an actual, you know, album track, on 727, when you fight for a song like No Way, together and unashamed, I told you that I wasn't perfect. No way, 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 no way, no way. But then you have a song like The Life on the album. I like seeing all the bright lights. Keep it up, pour it up for the night. Two times, I'ma get it two times. Double up on the back of my mind. This is the life, life, life. This is the life, life, life. This is the life, life, life. This is the life. That just doesn't make any sense. So I think that they struggle with trying to have those like vocal moments and then also, you know, giving you pop, you know, the pop sound that will have get you a top five on Billboard, you
right.
know.
And I mean, I think if you go back even to, because obviously like Fifth Harmony, they auditioned as solo artists. If you go back and listen to the songs they auditioned with,
all R&B,
you know exactly what they thought was the best use of their vocals. And so I'm not surprised that they're fighting for a song on, like, No Way.
But yeah, the, like, drop-off of R&B is definitely a good theory, and I never thought about that at all. So let's talk about how Fifth Harmony, like, broke the girl group mold, kind of, like, brought them back.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to say first, Little Mix was a group before Fifth Harmony.
They were.
But they are very successful in their region of the world.
Are they?
I'm going to. Yeah, I think they do pretty well where they're from.
Mm-hmm. Which is like the UK.
Right, the UK.
I do feel like they had a harder job.
Yeah.
Like for them, trying to convince the U.S. It's like once you have the U.S. on your side, you can get the rest of the world.
Right,
and
right.
So because Fifth Harmony, you know, as a group, they were formed here. It was, they had easy access to being able to do those mall tours and and all of that stuff. Like, it's easier. I'm not, like, it's not easy for anyone, I should say.
No.
But it just is much harder to translate that success when you're coming from abroad. But also when you're a girl group because, you know, we see One Direction was able to do it fairly easily.
Simple.
But there's a definite, like, gender thing. I mean, even The Wanted, which was a boy band that didn't last as long as One Direction, but, like, they, even they had more mainstream success over here for their, you know, two successful singles than Little Mix has ever had. I don't know if I think I've heard a Little Mix song in, like, Forever 21, but I've never heard it on the radio.
I think
in the
we
US.
Were together when we heard
song. Was it Move? Yeah, it was Move.
Yeah.
And in that Forever 21. And I've never heard their song on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though they were formed first, they kind of weren't able to get at that in time. But even Fifth Harmony, it took them, like, what, 3 years to, like, actually, for people to actually realize, even in the U.S., that they were actually, like, a thing?
Yeah, like, pop fans were showing a lot of resistance for Fifth Harmony. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of resistance. People were just did not want to see it for them without watching a video, seeing anything. I mean, this is before they started touring and stuff like that. People did not want to see it for a pop girl group, I think. And especially one as diverse as Fifth Harmony, you know what I mean? But I think now it's kind of like undeniable that they do, the singles that they put out are bops. They're good songs.
They
I mean,
the
they're good, like, fun now. Songs. I think people are a lot less, like, harsh on them. I mean, I still see times where, like, Stan Twitter is dragging them. But for the most part, I think that they brought back girl groups. And a lot of people will fight me on that. Like, I've had people tell me on Twitter, like, yeah, right, blah, blah, blah. But what other girl group do you know? Right. Like, if and you like, can tell what, me.
Like, I know Kelly Rowland was a judge on X Factor when Little Mix was on, right?
Yes, yes.
So, honestly,
I want to say she helped form
between them. Little, yeah, she helped form them. And I think between Fifth Harmony, you know, and Little Mix, mm-hmm. I think if Kelly had not seen that bit of success from those two groups, would she have even approached the idea of June's Diary?
I doubt it.
To me, it was her saying, okay, like, this is a thing that can be possible in 2016. Like, I should maybe try to do this. And so I don't know. Like, I think that might have, you know, some kind of connection too. But, yeah.
I mean, because even, like, when she interviewed about the show and stuff like that, she didn't always mention Little Mix, but she did mention Fifth Harmony. She's like, you know, we have Fifth Harmony, but that's it. You know what I mean? So why not, you know, have more groups out here? And then, like, an all-black group at that.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad she started that group. We talked about this a little earlier when we spoke to Steph, but going back to, like, their X Factor days, did you ever think that Fifth Harmony would actually become as successful as they have?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither.
Absolutely not. Like, no.
It's so weird, though, because I was rooting for them. It wasn't more of my doubts about them as it was my doubts that the mainstream public wouldn't be down with them.
Right.
That's where most of my doubts came from.
I feel the exact way about June's Diary right now. I don't want them to be ignored because they are a black group and then they have that R&B sound. The R&B sound that is not popular on Top 40 right now. It's the same way I felt about, you know, Fifth Harmony. With Fifth Harmony, I kind of like took it one accomplishment at a time. It was never like Steph said, where she just kind of, she could see the stadiums
full of people.
I don't have
that kind of instinct.
I did not have that for them.
I was like, the fact that the first song they ever performed was Impossible is really symbolic to me, because honestly, I thought it was going to be impossible that they'd ever get there. But like, it's really dope that they were, you know, no pun intended, that they were able to like stay relevant long enough to win people over. That to me to this day is like shocking. I mean, that it all goes back to like the Harmonizer fandom being as dedicated as they are and really holding the girls up, because like these days people release like a couple singles and like no one cares about albums and they kind of just are wiped
out.
They fade out. And so I'm just constantly shocked that they were able to, like, stay relevant enough all these years, you know, just relevant enough until they finally broke out within the last year, like, with their,
because it was
singles.
A struggle.
Yeah, it was a struggle for them. It was a struggle for fans.
You
like,
know?
I don't...
Like, Fifth Harmony's fans were, like, super excited for Miss Moving On to, like, be on the top 100 on, like, 89.
No, let me tell
like
you,
that,
okay,
you
so
know?
I say, honestly, if their official debut album was basically Better Together Redux, they would have... No. They wouldn't have, like, the switch over to urban, whatever you want to call it, sound was the smartest thing they've ever done.
Most definitely.
Yeah, because I never, like, and then on 727, the fact that they have a Vybz Kartel cover. I just want your love.
Yeah.
It's like insane to me. Like if you would have told me that those girls wearing those cheesy outfits on Anything Could Happen during X Factor would be covering Vybz Kartel, I would have been like, y'all are crazy.
What?
Like there's
You're
no
lying.
Way. So it's like I definitely think they're moving in a better direction now, a smarter direction. But I wanna ask you, like, earlier on, before, you know, most people were hip to like their newer sound, like earlier on, what would you show people to kind of be like, hey, like, check out Fifth Harmony? Because, like, you weren't showing them the Better Together video.
Oh, hell no.
So, like, what were you showing people to be like, y'all, like, look at this group?
I think everybody did the same thing. They showed them the YouTube covers.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
The YouTube covers that they... I mean, everybody knows the YouTube covers. People that aren't huge fans know Fifth Harmony's Taylor Swift Red cover. People really like hearing them sing.
Yeah, which is why everyone's like, to this day, even with their albums out, they're like, post a cover. And honestly, it would have been smart, like, in between albums.
They get on my nerves.
But anyway, so what's your favorite, what are your favorite, like, what's your top favorite cover?
Okay. My favorite cover is probably American. Dinah
really?
And Lauren, and that is just like, yeah. I love it so much.
Like an American. Like an American.
Another one of my favorites is probably Honeymoon Avenue. I remember when they put that out. I think that was that the last cover they did?
I don't remember, but all I know is that Ariana's first two albums were like everything to me. And so
Goat,
I just,
like,
yeah,
legit.
Like, honestly. And so I just remember seeing this cover and I'm like, damn, like, they really did it justice. And so actually earlier on, that's the cover I would use to be like, y'all, like, don't sleep on Fifth Harmony.
Honeymoon, Honeymoon Avenue. Honeymoon, Honeymoon Avenue. My baby, coasting like crazy. Can we get back to the way it was?
Oh, yeah.
But my actual favorite cover is their cover of One Direction's They Don't Know About Us.
Oh,
like,
that's
that should have
been
a Fifth Harmony song. Honestly,
that is, they sang it so much better than One Direction. Like, but the most recent cover that I really liked was the X's and O's covers. I was like nervous about it because they have not been like very reliable with arranging covers,
right?
For themselves.
Because they're not working with Julian anymore,
right? Dinah is pretty good at it, but like the rest of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was nervous about it, but it sounded really, really
Speaking
good.
Of, okay, anytime Camila posts an acoustic cover, I'm just like,
oh my god!
Like, what did she mashed up like Beyonce and The Weeknd on an acoustic guitar,
and it didn't work
so bad,
but it went viral. They love her so much. But she's just like, I think she wants to have the ear, you know, like an Ed Sheeran ear, but she just doesn't have it. I think if she works at it, she can. You know, but she just does not have the ear like I think she thinks she does.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just needs to work on it, right. I think. But at the end of the day, we love them so much.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
So yeah, now we're going to get into our final segment of the show. Flops and faves. Pretty much we're going to tell y'all what we loved this week and what we did not like this week. So what was your fave of the week, Gigi?
My fave of the week has to go to the National Association of Black Journalists. There was a conference last week. It was a joint conference with the National Association of Black Journalists and the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. And I got to go and meet some amazing, amazing people. But there was one person specifically who came up to me, actually two people who came up and were like, we love the podcast, like we listen to it. And Yay. It was just like so, so cool to like meet people, especially since the podcast is so new and still kind of, we're still trying to figure ourselves out and figure what this is going to be about. But
it's
the
a
fact
baby.
That, yeah, it's just a baby, but just a couple weeks old. But like, it was cool to meet people and get that feedback. In addition to my fave being the conference and the awesome people I met there, I also have to give a shout out to just everyone who has listened to our show so far. Like,
yes.
We really appreciate,
thank y'all
like,
so much.
Yeah, thank y'all. We really, really appreciate the comments and the replies on Twitter and people who are already subscribing and following us on SoundCloud and all of that. Like, it means so, so much that you guys are already on board with us. And yeah, so thank you. I had to give y'all a shout out this week.
Thank you, you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah. Tell your mama.
We love you. All right, so what was your fave?
My fave of the week is Ne-Yo's album.
Yes.
Titled For All We Know. And it came out on July 29th, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so good. Like, I don't know what genre I would put it in. Is it like alternative R&B?
I guess. I don't know. Like, it's not.
For the
like,
people that might not have heard it yet, it's like alt.
She definitely has an R&B sound if you're isolating her vocals, but I think with all the different right. sounds she adds in and the production on it, it's a lot going on there, but it's like, it's a masterpiece. I totally co-sign with this fave.
Yes, it's really, really good. And my standout tracks are Happy. That one is one of my favorites. Feels Like Perfume. It's like the sexy track of the album, I guess. And then Bad Blood, which is my like all-time favorite Ne-Yo mm-hmm. song. It was out before the album came out, and I loved it, and I kind of forgot about it. And then I listened to it more, you know, when the album came out, and I'm just so in love with that song. And, yeah, so that's my fave of the week. And it'll probably be my fave for a pretty long time because I have not stopped listening to it.
Yes, please but, go listen to Ne-Yo's album. It's beautiful.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my fave.
Cool. So, okay, so our flop this week is actually a flop that both Kayla and I kind of decided we wanted to address. If you've been on Twitter lately, especially if you're in the stan world, you probably know that Normani Corday from Fifth Harmony, she has been attacked recently, cyberbullied by people who have been doing really disgusting things to her image by like photoshopping her face onto photos of slaves and people getting lynched and just really, really disgusting things that trolls have been doing. And it's gotten so bad that she's actually left Twitter. She wrote a note basically addressing the issue and how she can't really take it anymore. And so we really wanted to take the time to address it. And our flop this week goes to all the trolls that, you know, were taking part in all of that.
I definitely just wanted to say that it's not an isolated incident. You know, this has happened before, I mean, not to this, you know, level with the pictures and stuff like that, but it definitely, you know, there's microaggressions and there's comments people make about her and that they have been making about her since the beginning of Fifth Harmony. And she did actually mention that in a note, you know, that she's been dealing with things like this since the beginning of Fifth Harmony.
Yeah, both online and in real life. Like, it's insane.
And I just wanted to point out that this is not something that this is not the first time this has happened, and I'm more than sure it won't be the last time that it happened. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just hope that she stays away from Twitter as long as she feels the need to, and I hope she doesn't think she has to come back sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it sucks to see that, you know, as her mom saw it, you know, as a, you know, even a black fan, it sucks to see things like that happen to, you know, a celebrity, because it's thousands of people or hundreds of people sending you stuff like that every day. So it mm-hmm. does really suck. And I hope that she does feel better in the long run.
Yeah, we're definitely sending good vibes to her. I think one of the positives that's come out of it is just seeing like all the support she's been getting. I mean, I think it was there at their concert the other night. You know, fans printed out a bunch of signs that just said "Black is beautiful" and "We love you, Normani," and all these things. So it's definitely good that she's been at least been shown love through all of this. We felt like we needed to address this week. We definitely want to talk about it more in another episode, just dealing with being, you know, a black woman in the pop industry, in the music industry, but also being like a black fan in these situations and having to be in the mix with people who, people like those trolls who just are just abusive to, you know, these celebrities and the other fans around them. And so, yeah, we send our love to Normani and her family because we know this was just such a shitty situation. So hopefully it comes to an end for her and, you know, everyone else.
Yeah. So that was the flop.
And you know what? We're going to end on a happier note. What is, like, your favorite Normani, like, anything? Like, what's your favorite Normani moment?
Mine is when they were at, okay, so this is super specific, but they were at a Thanksgiving parade, and Allie is like, guys, we can't look at the floats yet. It hasn't started. And Normani's like, Allie, it's not a wedding. And I thought that was hilarious. It's really funny. We'll link the video in the description so y'all can see. She's hilarious. So yeah,
she's
go check
so,
that
so
out.
Funny. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode.
Yes.
We wanted to make a quick announcement that we're now officially on iTunes and Stitcher, but we are sticking on SoundCloud as well, so you guys can find us on all of those places. We're at Fan of a Fan, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Fan Podcast, and you can also catch us on Tumblr at thefanpodcast.tumblr.com. All of our personal social media accounts are in the description area of this here, wherever you're listening to this at.
And special thanks to DJ Magic. She produced all the music you hear in the beginning and the end of the episodes. You can follow her at Your Girl DJ Magic on Twitter and SoundCloud. That's YAGIRL DJ MAGIC. And yeah, hit her up. Go listen to her mixes and stuff like that.
Okay, see y'all next time.
All right, bye. Peace.